we're in the book of Acts chapter 6. We start a new chapter. So let's begin. Those of you are listening by the internet, please tune into us. Questions at bfgbc.org if you want to write us. Or call us at 856-854-4452. I believe it's on the screen, but I'm not sure. 856-261-9018. Or questions at bfgbc.org. All right, let's begin by reading Acts 6, verses 1, 2, and 3 together. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Greeks against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. All right, verse number 1. The number of the disciples. What are the disciples? What does that mean?
Followers.
Okay, and learners and so on. Multiplied. What does that mean? Multiplied.
Increased,
all right. And I think we're ready for the verses, I guess. When they're increased, multiplied. Now, after they were multiplied, what problem do they have in verse 1?
Murmuring.
What does the murmuring mean?
It's an
onomatopoeia. Onomatopoeia, that's right. Murmur. And what is the definition of that? People that murmur. What's the definition?
What's the definition?
Complaining. All right, complaining and having all kinds of bitterness. Now, if you've got a multiplication of people, doesn't that always mean unity? When you have a huge crowd? No, this is the case. They multiply sometimes, but sometimes not. Absolutely. Now, what was the murmuring about?
Against the Jews, the Hebrews.
Okay. Who were the ones that were doing the complaining?
The Grecians.
All right, what's the difference between a Greek and a Jew, a Hebrew there in this case?
One is Gentile.
Okay, as far as the stock to which they were, they're Christians, they're saved, born again, but their origin was Greeks or Gentile, and the Hebrew, they're supposed to be saved, their stock and origin was Jewish, so you have the Greeks and the Jews. So the Greeks were the ones that murmured against whom?
The Jews,
the Hebrews. Why did they murmur?
Because they're neglecting
their widows. Okay, what does "their" refer back to? Who's there?
The Greeks.
The Greeks' widows were neglected.
Strange.
See?
Why were they mad at the Hebrews? They should have been taking care of their own widows.
Well, I don't know. That's what they thought the Hebrews would take care of.
Yeah, that's strange, too.
Wasn't the church basically established with a lot of Jewish people initially? I mean, most of them believers were... At the beginning,
The
church in Jerusalem.
Jews first, also the
Greeks. With the
Israel. Anna's got something first. Go ahead.
She got the same thing on the side. Go ahead.
Anna, go ahead.
Well, I think what happened was that the Greeks are were neglecting their widows, it wasn't just that the Greeks were being neglected. It was that the Hebrew widows needed to be attended to. And that it was an issue of favoritism even towards the Hebrew widows. It wasn't that, the Greeks were like, oh, we should be being taken care of. It was that, you're taking care of the Hebrews, so why are you discriminating against us, all believers?
But then?
Now, the Grecians, aren't they Greek-speaking Jews?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, Grecians would probably be the Gentiles, I would think, because normally the Hebrews would be speaking the Hebrew and Greeks would be speaking...
At the day of Pentecost, those different Jews from all over the region.
Yeah.
The crowd spoke, 12, 13 different languages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what there was, but, but it could be that many different languages.
Yes, that's what they say about 12.
With the Grecians, would they be Greek-speaking Jews, or would they just be just Gentiles, the believers?
Whatever they would be, I think they'd be from the Greek culture, and so I would imagine they'd be speaking Greek, and they'd be different. They weren't Hebrews, because there's a distinction of Grecians versus Hebrews, so there must be some difference, whatever it is. Probably the root stock. We're Gentiles, all of us, as far as I know. And if we're Christians, we're now Christians, what three kinds of people are there in the Scripture? First Corinthians? What is it?
The Jews,
Gentiles, and the Church of God. So Jews, stock of Jews, that's one time, the Gentiles, stock of Gentiles, and the church got the believers, the saved people. Once you become a Christian, does God any longer consider you Jew or Greek? No, they were a Christian. So, but the Greeks, so there's a big difference of opinion. Questions at bfdbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Maybe some of you listening can figure out this and solve the problem for us. But yes,
I have a question. How big was the church then? Do we have any idea?
Remember, it says several thousand. In verse number chapter 5, let's see what it says there.
5,000,
5,000. What verse would that be then?
Multiplied in this verse.
Yes, in chapter 5, do we have a certain number?
14 believers that are more added to the Lord.
Yeah, that's the word. Multitudes, both men and women. So, don't know the size. Now, later on, there were 3,000, and then later on, there were 5,000. But here,
back to chapter four. I mean, many of them which heard were believed. The number of the men were about 5,000.
Yes, well, there's 5,000. Yes. So, it could be on this occasion there were thousands. See, very many people. Maybe 7,000. Maybe gathered here. It doesn't say the exact number, but there were thousands, 5,000. Back in chapter 4, thanks, Dan. So, there's a dispute, a murmuring, preachers against the Hebrews because of their widows. Who's are there again?
The Grecian.
The Grecian widows were neglected. What does neglected mean?
Forgotten
about it. In the daily administration, what might that be?
Daily needs.
Daily needs, all right, food and
clothing,
shelter and clothing.
And service.
And so, now in verse number 2, what does this mean, the 12? Who would those be?
The apostles.
12 apostles. Now, in this case, before Paul was called an apostle, who was probably sitting in as a substitute?
Matthias.
Paul hadn't yet been called, but he was sort of a substitute temporarily until. So, the 12, did they take seriously this murmuring of the Greeks against the Hebrews?
Yes.
What did they do in verse 2?
They made a statement.
First they called who? They had a big discussion, a big church business meeting, something, whatever you call it. They called the disciples, and what did they say? Did they say, let's go serve the Greeks ourselves?
It's not reasonable.
Not reasonable that we should do what?
Do the word of God.
And serve tables. Mm-hmm. See, the daily administration would be serving tables. Now what would it mean? What were these apostles doing?
Preaching the word of God.
It wasn't just storytelling and big psychology. So he was preaching the word of God to these people. That's what they should have done. That's what they were doing. What preachers today should do all the way. So we shouldn't leave the and serve tables. That's not reason. So in verse 3, what was the suggestion of the...
Wait a minute, I have a question.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Well then they shouldn't do that. Then who were the people that were to serve the tables then?
Well,
the other people in the church.
Well, that's right. See, that's what they're going to take care of. Chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6.
All right.
See, they went ahead and they solved this problem. They solved the problem. So, wherefore, what does the wherefore mean? What does wherefore mean?
Wherefore.
What's that mean? But because of all this disputing, because it's not meet that we should leave the word of God to serve tables, because of all this, and wherefore, brethren, referring back to whom?
The disciples.
The disciples and the Christian believers. What did they suggest? What did the 12 suggest?
They choose 7 men.
Okay, look ye out among you. Now, in other words, they had to be disciples. Had to be saved, born again, had to be a part of it. But now, some of the qualifications. What's the first qualification that had to be?
Of honest report.
Honest report. So, what does that mean?
In other words, they have a good reputation.
Upright, honest man. That's the first. What's the second qualification?
Full of the Holy Ghost.
Full of the Holy Ghost. Now, what does that entail? What does it mean to be full?
Saved, sanctified,
sanctified. Saved, and what else? What does full mean? Filling the Spirit. What does that mean?
Controlled
by. See, filled or controlled. You have to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And so they had to be godly, spiritual men. Spiritual men, not simply fleshly, just speaking out of the flesh, but guided by the Spirit of God. What's the third qualification? Full of the Holy Spirit?
Wisdom.
And wisdom. What is wisdom? How do you define that? What is wisdom?
understanding how to apply the Word of God.
Right, how to apply the Word of God. People sometimes say knowledge and wisdom are a little different. What's the distinction?
Knowledge is just the facts. The wisdom is application.
Application. So how to use the facts and go ahead with full of wisdom, whom we may appoint. We refer back to whom?
The apostles.
The apostles. These are 12 disciples, probably the 12. Appoint over this business. Now, appointing meaning what?
They're giving them the responsibility.
Now, does that mean election or does that mean appointing?
No, they're like delegating. They have the meeting and they decide, okay, this person.
Now, look ye out among you, these men, and once the men came forward with all three qualifications, what are the three qualifications again?
The Holy Ghost.
Honest report.
And wisdom.
And once the crowd saw these men, they brought them before them, you seek them out. But then once they got sought out, who appointed or selected them? Was it by a vote of the majority?
The apostles.
They just said, all right, you. They actually selected them. And so, now that's important. Now, a lot of times, of course, in church business, we have a vote and different things, but sometimes leadership can appoint. Now, in some big churches, for example, when they have pastors and assistant pastors and assistant, the Constitution says you can call the pastor by a two-thirds vote or whatever the majority is, three-fourths, whatever you call him. Then the pastor can select associate pastor, assistant pastor, in other words, and responsible to the pastor. And if the pastor, if it doesn't work out, the church doesn't have to go in there. He can fire that particular. See, sometimes they give certain qualifications. In this case, the 12 selected those that the people suggest. They looked them over, and they probably had a big discussion, and they probably vetted them, as they said, looked over, see that they met these three qualifications. We appoint over this business. What business they refer to there?
The widows.
The widows.
Meeting their needs.
Daily needs. I just read verse 4, 5, and 6 together. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. All right, what in verse 4 did the apostles say they wanted to do? Take a vacation?
No.
Now, how much would it be in prayer? How much would it be in the ministry?
Continually.
That shows that was their primary duty, and not just relaxing and taking it easy, but to continue to pray, ministry. That's what the disciples, the apostles, want to do. And then, what did the multitude think of that idea in verse 5?
They liked it.
They pleased the whole multitude, whether it's 5,000, 6,000, 1,000, whatever. They appreciate it, and so they began to choose these people to help in the ministration. What's the first one they chose? What was his qualification? Let me mention.
Full of faith.
And the Holy Ghost. So he was a man that was selected first, Stephen. Mm-hmm. And who's the next one they picked?
Philip.
And next?
Prochorus.
And next?
Nicanor.
And next? Timon. And next?
Parmenas,
and finally?
Nicholas.
Proselyte, what does proselyte mean?
I don't know. He was a Gentile
who
got converted to Judaism.
Okay, he got converted into the Jewish faith, but then proselyte of Antioch.
Now, and he came to Christ.
He came to Christ and became a Christian. How many were they that they picked in this first five? Did you count them up?
Seven.
It is. So seven men. See, now, if there are 1,000 or 5,000.
It's 7,000.
Even 7,000. Maybe 7,000, 1,000, 3,000. And so they want some help.
Still a lot of people.
Remember,
the 3,500, it's still 500 people, you know.
That's true.
Wow.
So, but they had to have some help. But
these
people. That's right,
everyone's not a widow.
No, that's true. So, they were to take care of these widows, these seven men. What do some people call these seven men?
Deacons.
What does the word deacon mean?
Servant.
And a minister. Servant and a minister. And daily ministration, service. So that the deacon, that's what some people thought. Others don't agree with that, but others say, here's a call, let's see what we got here. Yes. Hi, Jacob. What's up?
Oh, wait, yeah. Put them on.
I'm trying to see. Let me see. I can't hear you.
Put it on speaker, Pastor.
I'm trying to. Let me see. Can you sing 81 first in the last sense? I don't know. Speaker on. Are you there, Jacob?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay, finally got it. Okay.
Okay. I think Pastor Dan's right, because if you go back about the Greek speaking Jews, also proselytes, because if you go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 5,
mm-hmm.
and that word dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven.
Uh-huh.
For the most part, they had to still be Jews, because you remember when Peter was sent to the house of Cornelius, and that's when this was offered to the Gentiles as a whole. There may have been little isolated extremists out there. I'm sure there were. Cornelius was already a devout believer,
uh-huh.
and many people in other lands, but for the most part, they weren't in the body of this church at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's about all I have to say.
Okay, well, thank you, Jacob Romer from Texas. Let's wave it to Jacob.
Hi, Jacob.
Jacob from Tokyo, okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So he would agree with Dan that these are probably Greek-speaking Jews, which is entirely possible, but there was a division, and these people were chosen to help the minister, and the deacons, some people refer to them, maybe because they're certainly servants that are serving the Lord. And there were seven of them. All right, let's see what we got another one. Let's see what we got here now. Yes, hi, Rob from Chicago. Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, Pastor. Hi, everyone. Reading through the commentaries, these people say that these Grecians were Greek-speaking Jews because they read the Septuagint in the synagogues. So they're making their assumption because that they believe there was a Septuagint at that time. So if you read through most of these commentaries, they say that, yes, they were Greek-speaking Jews and not Greeks, because they were, and that they were trained using the Septuagint. So I give that a thumbs down.
There's
a good chance that they were Greeks, too.
Okay, that's good. You got the Greek end of it. Why do you give a thumbs down? Tell us, Rob.
Because there wasn't a Septuagint back then.
Amen. That's right. When did the Septuagint originate, as far as we know?
Sometime around Origen's time, which is 200 years after
Amen.
After the canon was completed.
That's right. You got that right, Rob. We agree with that. Mm-hmm. So thanks a lot. That's good for you looking them up. Anyway, let's wave to Rob from Chicago. Thank you, Rob. Praise the Lord. All right. So Greek-speaking Jews, it's fine. They're Greeks. That's fine. So these seven, and then in verse number 6, what did they do with these seven?
Set them before the apostles.
Set them before. In other words, they picked them, they put them there, the apostles appointed them. And what did they do after they set them before the apostles in verse 6?
They prayed for them.
They prayed.
Laid
their hands on them. Now that laying out of hands is just showing that they approved of them and they sent them forth. So we have ordination laying on hands, sometimes deacons laying on hands. It shows that they're approved of those people on whom they lay their hands. So these are the. We're going to be stopping right here for tonight, but if you have any other comments or questions before we close tonight. We didn't take up too much, but we're short of time. Well, we would try three more then. Well, let's read 6, 7, 8 together. 7, 8, and 9. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia, and the Asians, disputing with Stephen. All right, verse 7. What happened to the word of God here?
Increased.
Now see, let me ask you this. When numbers increase, does that mean necessarily the word of God increases? Is there a difference?
In this case it did.
All right.
But not
it doesn't only.
All right, Anna?
When your question about numbers increasing and that resulting.
Does that mean the word of God necessarily increases?
Right.
Well, in other words, you think of Joel Osteen. What he's got? 20,000 members in his church? Yeah, go ahead.
So, when the word of God increases, then the number of believers will increase. But just because you have a big congregation doesn't mean the Word of God is there.
Exactly right.
That's right.
See that?
We don't logically converse here.
See, in other words, the Word of God must be preached and exalted and so on. But let me ask you this. Can the congregations increase in number when the Word of God is not honored and not preached?
Yes.
Today we see it all the time. What does he got? 20,000? How many does he have? It's a huge stadium.
It's huge.
Huge stadium.
He doesn't preach salvation, though.
No. In fact,
it's a pep rally.
Yeah. But when I was talking to a lady today, Sharon. What's your first name?
Linda
Sharon, on the telephone. She says, what I always do, I walk into the service and I say, did that man tell a person how to be saved and born again? And in that particular, he never does.
He
just talks about general things and psychology. So, in other words, the Word of God. Increase. Praise the Lord for that. We want the Word of God to increase and preach. And then the number of disciples, what happened to them?
Multiply.
Jerusalem greatly. And what else was true in verse number 7?
A great company of the priests.
We're reading the verse. What were the priests? What's that?
I like that. A great company of the priests were obedient to faith.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes, the priests. Who are those priests?
Someone.
Serving the temple.
Serving the temple, all right. And
they realized that Jesus was the Messiah.
These people realized that Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah.
These were Messianic Jews then.
Apparently.
Jewish priests,
apparently, yes. But they came to Christ and were saved and born again. Yes, Tammy?
Some of these could have been there when, you know, the Lord was crucified.
Yes, could be.
You know, amongst the group that kind of conspired against them.
Yes.
You know.
That's right.
Question.
Great company. Now, they didn't have the same priest type of arrangement as they did in the Old Testament. They had a lot of things like the high priest. They had a whole bunch of high priests changing instead of waiting for the death. But anyhow, in this case, they had a number of priests, a great company, were obedient to the faith. What does it mean to be obedient to the faith?
Believing God.
Trusting the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, the faith, obedient, and doing exactly what the Scripture says. Then in verse number 8, Stephen, who was he?
One of the seven.
Was he the seventh, the sixth, the fifth, the fourth?
He was the first.
He was the first who was chosen. The first was named. And what does it say that, what is it?
First martyr, too,
wasn't it? Later on, in chapter 7, we'll see. I haven't got there yet, but the rest of the case, but you're right. That's all right. That's fine, that's good, Joe.
That's all right.
You know the end from the beginning.
That's right, his name is significant.
What does Stephen mean? What's the Greek word Stephen mean? Stephanos. What does it mean?
Crown.
What is Daniel's Wait's middle name?
Stephen.
Aww. Daniel Stephen. Two Bible names.
Amen.
Wonder who gave him those names.
I think Mom and Dad.
Tammy did.
This is
Tammy.
Way to hear, but...
No, that's right. We gave him those names. We wanted our son to be a strong Old Testament and a strong New Testament. Not that he's going to be slain, but to be a strong, strong son. Yeah?
That's the meaning of names. Daniel means God is judge.
That's right. Daniel. All right, so Stephen, now notice in verse 8, what was his qualification? What was true of this man, Stephen, in verse 8?
Full of faith.
And power. Who gave him the power? Was it human power?
It was
the Holy Spirit power. It was great power. And so much so, what did he do among the people?
Great wonders and miracles.
Wonders and miracles. Now, he had apostolic, miraculous, giving power.
Yeah.
A lot of people today, they claim, you know, signs and wonders are...
But yes, they do.
Yeah, but we believe that the gift of signs and wonders before the Scriptures were complete was given to these apostles, apostolic. But then when the Scriptures were complete, 90 or 100 AD, we believe those signs, those special gifts, were away. But during this time, they had power, great wonders and miracles among the people. And then in verse number 9, what happened? What does this mean? Arose to certain of the synagogue. What is synagogue? What type of group is that?
Jewish.
The Jews. What are the Jews meant for their worship? And it's called the synagogue. What type of people were in there?
Libertines
and
Iranians and
Alexandrians. And then of Cilicia and Asia. Now, these are people that came from these different countries. Yes, Anna?
Synagogue. Look at this.
Greek word. The synagogue doesn't mean like a gathering together.
Yes, it means. Soon as with, algo is to lead with, to take with, gather together. That's exactly right. That's where they met, in the synagogues. Yes, Pam?
So in the footnote it says these are freed slaves, the riches.
Oh, that's interesting. Freed slaves, yes. So these got together, and what was their main agreement in verse 9?
It was a dispute. They disagreed with Stephen.
They all disagreed, disputed with Stephen. What does disputed mean?
Disagreed.
Disagreed and argued against and fought against. And so we're going to stop there for a minute.
Stop there.
And then we'll take that up, Lord willing, next Thursday. But do you have any other comments or questions about that? This is very important because we see what's happened in chapter 7. Let's see again, Bill.
This is getting back to the definition of a Greek again.
All right.
I wish I was better at memorizing verses, but there is one verse in Romans.
Uh-huh.
It's called, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek."
Yes.
Now, I think he's referring to Greeks as Gentiles.
That's probably Gentiles in that case, yes. Yes, Rob, another call from Rob from Chicago. Hey, Rob.
Just one more comment on the Grecians also, and it's interesting if you look in the book of Joel and chapter 3, verse 6,
Joel 3:6, okay.
And it says, "The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border." So the Greeks were exposed to these Jews 500 years earlier or so.
Uh-huh.
And that was an interesting verse there that I happened to notice.
Yes, very good. Thanks, Rob. Let's wave again. Second time. What? Wave the second time. Second wave. That's good. So that gives a little bit of background. Any other comments or questions before we close? Quiet, Father, close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank Thee for the power of Thy Holy Spirit. We thank Thee for these men, these apostles, that were strong in preaching the Word and wanting to minister in prayer. Didn't want to stop for things. It's good to stop and help people and help these widows, but they were full of understanding and wisdom to know that that's not what the Lord had called them to do. And so we're glad that they had these other men to help them. We're glad that these widows were properly undertaken. We're cared for, and we thank you, Lord, that we can help people. But also, Lord, we ask you that those of us who are called to the ministry may not neglect that for other things and other duties. We thank you for these seven men that were selected and full of the Spirit of God, full of wisdom and full of faith and honest. And so, Lord, help all of us, even though we're not chosen to be these men, deacons or whatever they might be called, help us to be honest and full of the Holy Spirit and full of all these qualities that we should honor our Savior with. Guide us and direct us. Bring us back again on the Lord's Day. And may our Savior be glorified in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name for His sake.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you for coming. Praise the Lord.
Blessing to be here.